Occasionally, I do something called the 5-star shout out.
Happy Saturday morning, everybody out there. How y'all doing out there today?
Yeah. Good morning.
Feeling good over here. We on the side, John, baby. How's everybody doing? Like I said, y'all know I'm here with the chocolate girl.
That's right. You said it. You doing well, Dennis. You doing well. How you doing today?
Listen, today we got a special guest in the building. Now, everybody know about how much me and Sharon love music. So yep. Today, I finally got me a music artist on the show. Not just any music artist. We are talking about the King of Hooks, the Sound of Philly, actually the Sound of the Tri-State area. Let me get that out the way, all right? The raspy voice killer out there. You know, he can sing with all the 70s groups up to the new groups this today. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
All right, listen. Over 506 hooks done to this day.
Yes,
I'm talking about the one, the only, the King of Hooks, Corey Williams, is in the house. Woo!
And I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be here with y'all, man. What up, baby? I'm kicking it live with you guys.
That's right. That's right. I'm glad you're here. Listen, I got to start this thing off right. Shan, I got to tell you exactly how I met Corey. Shan,
please.
I met Corey. We used to go to the same clubs a lot. One we went to all the time was Chrome, though.
Yep.
Same one I met Sweet Love at. Chrome.
Yep.
Same club, right?
He knew me as a dancing fool then.
Right. But then one of my homies, now this is like 2005. One of my homies was like, "Yo, you know the boy to be dancing in the club all the time?" I was like, "Yeah, they call him the dance machine."
Yeah.
He said, "Yeah, he sing too." I said, "He did what?" He was like, "Yeah, he just won a singing contest."
Yeah.
I was like, "What?"
UPN 57, give me the mic, Philadelphia. Yes, sir.
Then it was like he just won a singing contest. I was like, damn, I had no idea about that.
Won me a trip to Mexico for a week and gave me $5,000. So
what?
You know,
yes, sir.
And listen, I've seen, he's been everywhere. He's been singing, doing everything. I was excited when I seen him on the internet with all, you know, with all the major rappers out there in the studio with him.
God be the glory.
I just want to let you know before we start the show, brother.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you, brother.
Blessings, bro.
I'm proud of you, man.
I'm only cocky on the microphone. I'm humble off. I'm saying thank you. It's a blessing to be appreciated. Thank you.
Hey, man. I understand. I definitely understand. And like I said, I'm glad you came through.
Yes,
but listen, we usually start our thing off with how's everybody week. So since you're the guest, how was your week?
You know, bro, I had a beautiful week with God's grace. As you know, I cut 3 hooks this week. That's how we got the 506. Shout out to Shady Black. You know who Shady Black is. World renowned. So, he working on a crazy album with Sony and a few others. We just did a crazy joint. I mean, a super crazy joint that, like, I know I can't say too much about, but just know that Sony and them behind it. And, you know, we're going to make it do what it do. Uptown Geo, another hook that I did. And I got one to do tomorrow, actually. 507 to be done tomorrow.
My boy, Uptown Geo.
Yeah.
That's my boy
there. Yeah, 507 tomorrow. But tonight, you know, it's funny. We're in New York tonight. Me and my Intruders, so my 70s group that I've been the lead singer of for the last 19 years. So I got a show tonight. So I believe in my beautiful home in Middletown, Delaware. Going right to New York tonight. Got a show tonight. Hit stage at 10:30 tonight. So I got a show to do tonight. Hook to do tomorrow. Another hook to do Monday. Another radio interview 107.9 on Wednesday. So, you know, I stay busy, man. You know.
Okay. What about you, Sharon?
Had a great week. You know, Saturday, my favorite day of the week, so I'm very hyped about that. But I had another great week. Got to see that grandbaby twice this week. Man.
That's right.
man. That's right. That gives me life and energy, you know. And then, you know, I'm also known as the chocolate writer. I got a new client this week. So I'm working on that and happy about that. And my sister's doing well and my son and my family, everybody's doing great. So it's been a great, this is three, four weeks in a row now.
God is blessing. Troubles don't last forever. Not when you got God's grace. So, you know, nah, even though we hate the troubles, them. But he won't, he'll persevere. You get you out of them. Good right. to hear.
That's right.
Now, Corey, I got to ask, man. When did you start singing, man? And like, did it start in church with you?
You know, living out here in this beautiful home, man. You know, I'm the Ric Flair of the town. You're going to see some bees here and there. We got trees everywhere to keep all the pollen, all that bullshit. But I started singing in church, man. Cornerstone Baptist Church, man. My mother was the choir director. God rest her soul. Me and my two sisters, Desiree and Jocelyn, we was on the choir. And I just loved it. It took on from there, where I still sing to this day, at least once a month in the church. So besides all the funerals I do consistently. But so homegrown church, Cornerstone Baptist Church, North Philadelphia. That's where it all started, man. I knew that was something I wanted to do, and God allowed me to do it. So
that's good. That's definitely good to hear. And you knew from there that you was going to be talented. So when did it go to the next level? Like, you know what? I'm going to take it outside the church. I'm going to go somewhere else.
Right, so I start loving all the response that you get when I got my first solo at 6 years old in the church. And of course, you know, when you're six, it's not like you're killing it like you're gonna kill it when you're older. But at six, I knew I had something special the way I was hitting certain notes. I was always a notologist. I know that's not really a word. I'm making my own word, notologist. Studied notes and wanted the notes to be perfectionist. I was watching the oldie groups all my life. I mean, I was 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. You know, everybody watched the Jackson 5, but I was watching the Sam Cooks and the Temptations and the OJs and, you know, Leon Huff and all them whom I studied and worked with. But so when I started, got the reception in the church, I said, oh, man, this is something I need to do outside of it. So what broke it all in, believe it or not, we went to Busch Gardens. Remember that? You know, I don't know if a lot of people have been there.
I remember Busch Gardens.
Busch Gardens. So I was 11 years old at Busch Gardens. I never forget. And they had a singing contest there. My mother and father took us to Busch Gardens. Now, I'm going to be, you know, blunt. You know, at that time, you're like, dang, you know, it's a bunch of Caucasian people here. They ain't going to let me win this thing. You know, it's like 30 people in the talent show, all white. It's like two black guys. We ain't going to win. But I did it anyway. And I sang All I Do Is Think of You, Jackson 5. And I won first place in front of all them people. And when I sing that, I beat all them Caucasians. And it's all Caucasians in that audience. I'm just keeping it real. At that time, I'm 41, so, like, you know, I'll tell my age. I was 11. So I'm like, I ain't going to beat this, but I won first place. And I knew then, I said, oh, this is something I want to do. And that's how it all started, just like that.
That's cool. Now, I seen you won your first, the first award that you mentioned to me was in 1999. That was one of the first ones you won.
God be the glory. Yeah.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I got a bunch of them, man. I won awards all over, all different states. You know, different countries, you know, from Mexico, got an award there. You know, the bio is long. I know you looked at my bio and said, what the hell? The bio is
long. Yeah,
crazy.
But I'm glad you sent the bio. Sharon was like, you need to start asking for bios for people more often. I was like, I didn't even know everybody had a bio. Let me just get that out of the way. So thank you.
Good job, chocolate writer.
Thank you.
Right.
You have thank
to
you.
One of people. You got to have info. I guess you know a lot about me because the world does. I've been blessed. But right. A lot of stuff you didn't know. I'm sure you read it and didn't know some of the things that you're seeing.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know some of
the things. So the resume is very, 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 very long. And that's the short bio.
Wow. That's the short version?
That's the short
version.
Oh, my. And I'm only 41. Don't forget that. And started out when I was 16 and a half. First record deal was when I was 17 with Hiram Hicks and Drew Hill. So Capitol Records. So
you were signed to Capitol Records at 16?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 16.
When you signed, what did they give you? I want, because everybody always talk about their first deal. They got burnt and all that. I want to hear the story.
Oh, yeah. We get into the real deal. We don't sugarcoat and we talk about the bad and the good. You know, at that time, you know, we was all getting railroaded. So 16 and a half years old, I remember Gerald Levert literally calling me on the phone because Gerald Levert was working with Hiram Hicks then. And first of all, shout out to the Connect. I'm sorry, James Jackson, who set that up. Forgive me for that, Lord. James Jackson was a guy who set it up to get Gerald Levert and Hiram Hicks to call me. So they called me direct on the house phone. Because at that time, I remember, you know, I think I had a cell phone. I remember at 16, yeah, I had a cell phone, but it was a minutes then. So anyway, they called this the house phone, mommy and daddy house phone. And at that time, I still know the number, 879-5648. It was so funny. Oh. The house phone rang twice. We seen the Atlanta, Georgia number. Nobody answered it. You know, we don't know the, we ain't answering it. We thought, so Joe LaVert's leave a voicemail, and that's on the answer machine. And we picked up in the middle of the voicemail where mommy picked up. So when mommy picked up, he said, hi, this is Joe LaVert. My mom said, who? My mom couldn't believe it, you know, because she's a big Joe LaVert fan too. Who wasn't, right? She said, he said, this is Joe LaVert, you know, the one and only Joe LaVert. And he had a convo. My mom said, oh my God, Corey. You know, so I go downstairs, I get on the phone, it's Joe LaVert, James Jackson on the phone, who was kind of like an agent to me at that time, or slash manager, if you will, you know, just for, you know, if no contract involved. And I said, come on, you can be like a manager to me, man. And he set it up. Get on the phone, we start talking, literally, y'all, in 3 days. He said, I'm going to fly your son out in 3 days to Hiram Hicks and Capitol Island Records, because it was Capitol / Island Records. So my mom and dad had to say yes to it, though. You have to understand, I was only 16 and a half then. So now you're talking about them flying me out, you know, underage, you know what I'm saying, and no contracts involved. So my mother actually said, we'll call James Jackson back tonight, and we'll make sure everything is all right to send Corey out there. So we hung up the phone, da-da-da. Mommy and daddy talked to me, talked to James Jackson on the phone. They didn't even want James Jackson to fly up there. Now, this is a guy who we said.
I think he'd be back. Hello?
Connection issue?
Yeah, you had a connection. Somebody must have called you. Now you're muted.
Now you're on mute.
Yeah, we can't hear you. You might have to go out and come back in. If somebody had called you.
Is that what happens on the phone?
Yeah, that's why I keep 2-3 phones. Y'all be talking about me with all these phones. That's why I keep 2-3 phones.
I don't say
one. I got one phone that can't nobody call me on. Nobody. So that's the one that I usually do most of the podcast. Matter of fact, let me charge that up there.
I understand.
Yeah, we still can't hear you. You're going to have to go out and come back in.
Go out and come back in.
Yeah, go out, click the link, and come back. Oh, you can't hear us. Oh, let me text you.
Okay, yeah. Go out and come back. Go out and come back in. Can you kick him out, Dennis? Kick him out. Can you kick him out?
I think I can.
I shouldn't say kick him out. I should say remove. Okay, so we'll be back. I had no idea his resume was that long, though, Dennis.
I knew it was long because I knew, like I said, when I was clubbing with him, I knew he was singing for a long time, and it was somebody who won that contest back then. And then, you know, I seen him on Instagram. I want to say like 8 years later, you know, he was on hook like 300 or something like that. He's like, I did 300 hooks. You know what I mean? He was like, you know, come check me out. I did 300 hooks. I'm doing hooks for everybody.
Wait, but did y'all can hear me now?
I can hear you now.
All right, so but you didn't stop the recording, right? So it still keeps going.
No, we ain't stop nothing. We keep talking.
Good move. So all right. So we had to decide what we're gonna do. So anyway, long story short, so they decided to let me go. So they fly me out 3 days later. I'm out there with Joe LaVert, and soon I get off the plane, Hiram Hicks meet me and Joe LaVert. First thing he did was hand me $1,000 cash in my hand. Hiram Hicks said, "Come on, man, we're gonna take good care of you. We got somebody we want you to meet." We go into the office. I mean, it's like wow, 125.
Somebody else call us with this bull with the connection issues.
Is somebody else probably called him?
Yeah,
you're gonna have to do it again.
You gotta do it again. Somebody keep calling you, man. You gotta tell them, stop calling you,
or else he needs to put it on what do you call that? Airplane mode or something.
Yeah, I ain't got that. I mean, I got airplane mode. But
not airplane. Do not disturb. Do not disturb. Yeah. That's what I meant. Yeah, because when you put it on airplane mode, you can't even connect to the internet or nothing. So, yeah, you need to put it on do not disturb. Oh, is that an Apple thing? You don't have that in Android land.
We got it in Android. We got it.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I just thought I'd ask.
I don't use it.
You know I'm team iPhone.
I'm B2. I got the 15.
Oh, I don't have the 15.
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand.
Did you trade in your old one? I want the old phone.
You know what? Can y'all hear me better? Is there any problems in the house? I was trying
to ain't no problems in the house.
I was trying to do it outside because of the ambiance, but I got a beautiful home, but it's just it's too dark. Like the light is not that good in there, I don't think.
That's all right.
No, you're all right.
You all right.
So, all right, let me see something. So you know what I mean? I gotta show the belt off. I ain't scared of y'all. Can y'all still see me? Can you see the cool guy?
So they let
me go. We head out there. I get off the plane. He gave me $1,000 cash. He take me right to 125 Fifth Street, the studio, Capitol Island Records. We go in there. Cisco's sitting right there with Jazz and him. Jazz and him just signed their deal only a month ago. For the first song, Tell Me What You Want. I'm sitting there, I'm talking to Cisco and all of them. I'm excited. I'm like, oh, the Cisco. So, you know, oh, my God. You know, I'm meeting him. I'm happy and da-da-da-da-da. And we just talking, having a good time. Next thing I know, he bringing three guys. I said, He said, Corey Williams from Philadelphia. This is the group Dark Secret. Dark Secret from Atlanta. This is Corey Williams. I didn't know what was going on. He said, this is your new lead singer, Corey Williams. So I'm like, huh? You know, you told my mom and him. In my mind, I'm like, you told my mom and him, he's flying me down here for a solo deal. So, of course, that's in my mind. I'm not going to say nothing to mess with no deal up. So I said, okay. He said, I need y'all to get acquainted, and I'll be right back. Him and Gerald LaVert leaves out the room. Drew Hill leave out the room. Man, the guys, I try to be nice. You know, it's three of them, me. I'm still a Philly boy, though, coming from North Philly at that time. So I'm all like, you know, I try to get my handshake and be nice and cordial. One of the dudes ain't want to accept me because he's like, oh, man, this has been my group for 10 years, man. What you mean, lead singer? And I'm like, my man, all right, listen, I came down thinking I was going to be on a solo deal. I ain't know nothing about this either. I'm like, let's just get this over, let's get this money together. He didn't want to be receptive of me. I was like, well, listen, I'm going to kiss your ass, my man. Like, I don't know what you think this is. You know what I mean? And it's three of them. And his boy was like, hey, calm down. He's like, you know, we'll work it out. So next thing you know, within like 20 minutes, they come back. The songwriter comes in with all these songs. So these are the songs I want y'all to learn. Y'all got 5 days to learn these songs. We're going to record all 10 songs in 5 days. We're like, shit. So I'm like, all right, say no more. I'm still like, let's get this done, y'all. You know, trying to be receptive, da-da-da-da-da. Man, they hated the whole thing when he said I was the new lead singer. We leave out to go eat dinner. They get on the elevator. They let the elevator close on me. I was like, oh, no, I ain't kissing no ass. I was like, fuck this. So I asked if somebody could use the phone. I called my mom and dad, tell them what's going on. You know, moms always care about us. They ain't fuck the money. My mom like, son, if they're not treating you right, you tell them you want to get flown back. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, you know. She's like, but if you want to keep trying a little longer, try to make it work, go ahead. I said, all right, man, I'm going to try the rest of the night and see what happens. Later on that night, I'll speed it up because I know we ain't got that much time. Speed it up. Later on that night, things happen. Arguments happen. He didn't accept me. I didn't accept him. Whole deal get thrown out the water. We all got flown home the next day. Do you hear me? The next day. So I come home. I'm speeding it all up now. So I come home. Everybody heard about it, like for Power 99, Golden Girl, you know, gossip get around fast. So Golden Girl had me on a radio show literally like maybe 3 days later after I came home, maybe 2 days. We talking about it. Everybody, from Golden Girl to Mimi Brown. I'm all on their radio stations talking about it, giving the whole spill. And I'm like, man, fuck that and da-da-da-da-da. But next thing I know, lo and behold, that's when No Question hit me up. You know, I've been in the group, you know, for No Question.
Yeah, No Question.
They hit me up. And it was just things happened with them. I signed a contract to do 4 years with them. So things just start moving. And on the flip side, I'm telling them, I'm still going to be Corey Williams, though, the solo Corey Williams, doing my thing solo, though. You know what I'm saying? Yes, I'm going to do this project with you guys. Yes, I'm going to tour with you guys, stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm just speeding everything up. So it's stuff that happened way before that. I'm just speeding the whole story up. So that's how all the group stuff started and this and that and this and that. But then before all of that, between that, I just start attacking myself, attacking TV shows and, you know, winning TV shows and making myself known all over. Then start cutting hooks because of Back to Basics DVD, you know, EA, shout out to him. You know, he start putting me on DVDs and stuff like that. Rappers start calling. I start cutting hooks with Enes Cassidy and, you know, Chingy, all them way back then. Then it started going viral, like where people start talking about it. Remember, there ain't no social media then. So it's just viral by word of mouth and MySpace. And,
nah, I'm telling out about you.
Think about that. We had to do all this shit. We had to really grind from the muscle. I came successful with God's grace, number one, but off of me, my muscle. It wasn't no social media in our area. Y'all know that because we're about the same age. I'm 41. So I had to grind in the
streets. We was clubbing together. Yeah. About the same.
They talking about the boy in the streets, Corey Williams, from the streets, word of mouth. Niggas like, get this nigga, get him, da 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 da. So people just start booking me for this, booking me for that, booking me for that. And it just start branching off, man. You know what I mean? Oh, and when the TV show, that's how the Temptations and the Intruders and all that stuff happened. When I won my first TV show, remember I did the song Losing You, so the Temptations. Mm-hmm. So when I did a 70 Soul Jam, they booked me for in the summertime, like 3-4 months later, one of the intruders got sick on the stage. So I told them, hey, I know you ain't gonna believe me, but I know all the songs to y'all stuff because all I do is study the oldies. We go in the back in a little bathroom, not a little dress room, in a bathroom. He said, can you do the harmonies to Cowboys, the Girls, and to Baseball Game? I said, I sure can. He said, second tenor? I said, yes. So I did the second tenor. We started doing the blues on the harmonies, second tenor. He said, come on. Took me out on stage. I finished the show with them in one of their big suits. Suit was big as hell. Finished the show. And they said they'll stay in contact with me. Sure enough, they stayed in contact with me. It took a year. But they stayed in contact. No, it's like 8 months. So yeah, almost a year. They contacted me, said, we want you to be in the group for good. How do you feel about that? I said, well, I told them, I said, I don't do background. This is how bold I was. I said, I don't do background. I said, I'm a monster lead vocalist. He said, okay, well, our lead vocalist, Ed, God rest his soul, has been acting up at the time anyway. He said, between me and you, let's just have a convo. Can you please come in and do some of the second tenors? And as Ed wings himself out, you'll catch on. Is that good enough for you? I said, all right, cool. I did 2 shows singing second to the background. Never did a background song again for the last 17 years. Been a lead singer, just like
that. That's what I'm talking about, baby.
That's what's up. That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, Chocolate Rider, I go all over the world, all over the country. He tell you, I don't know if you know my page. That's why I go all over the world with these guys all year long. So
all year long.
Yeah, I mean, New Orleans.
He's the youngest one in the group.
I'm in New Orleans next month for a week. You have to understand, I travel the world and get paid for it and don't have to pay nothing for it. Do you get it? I go there and get paid where those many people got to pay. I traveled half the globe and get paid to go there.
That's amazing. That's what it's all about.
He froze again. Somebody keep calling. He got the hotline.
Can y'all stop calling him, please? Stop calling him.
He got the hotline over there.
I'm moving all over the house for you guys.
No, you here. We got you.
You got me.
We can still see you, babe. We can see you here.
I mean, I don't want to talk heavy and go in all 5 of my bedrooms of being nice. You know, I got a pool in the jacuzzi.
Hey, man, listen.
You never see too much of your house. You know how that go.
I get you, but listen.
Like that. Yeah, she upstairs.
You made all that money. Why not? God damn it. You did all that hard work. Show it off, baby. All right.
5-bedroom, 3 cars. We do all right. God is good. We worked hard for it, though.
Now, when I met you back then,
yeah,
used to have a partner you rolled with, had the dread.
Oh my God, Soda Pop, he passed away on me, man. My best friend.
Oh, my homie did tell me. My homie was telling me something like that. He said, "I think he passed away." Then I said, "I don't know. I'm gonna ask him on the show."
It killed me, bro. It killed me. That was my best friend for 13 years. Killed me, man. I had to walk in his apartment and find him gone, just like that. Yep. Just like that. Never forget it. I know. Never forget it. Craig, we danced.
That's how they used to roll with him. He ain't had no back. You know, like we came deep. It was like 6 of us. Yeah. It was just him and his homie.
That's right.
Chocolate Rider. He's not lying. Listen. That only because he put it up. That was my. I'm talking about my heart. You talking about 13 years of my best friend and like, man, shit. We spent. Our girlfriends at the time used to get mad at us. We would spend 3-4 days together, and we partied every Tuesday, Thursday, sometimes Friday and Saturday, but every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And Chrome, Pinnacle, and Palmer's was our clubs. I lost my dancing partner, my best friend, all of that. Like, it killed me. So that's why I stopped dancing. So, you know, I don't know if you know, that's when I decided to stop dancing. You know,
I seen you dance recently. I want to say it was right after the pandemic. Like right around the pandemic era, you was in a club dancing. Somebody called him again. Somebody keep calling this dude. I don't know. He got the hotline.
I don't understand.
You gotta get you another phone, Corey.
100% Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Hey, listen. You gotta get you another phone, Corey. Everybody keep calling you, man. Every time somebody call you, your phone going out.
Oh no. Yeah, people is calling, so that's probably messing it up too. Oh, so that messes it up. Oh yeah. People is calling. Okay. Yeah, I did have 4 phone calls. And 3 text messages since we've been on the phone. So that's
gotcha. Man, you gotta get you. Make sure you get you another phone. Yeah. So that way you just got a phone that just work on just strictly Wi-Fi. No number. Just strictly Wi-Fi.
Your partner got off the screen. She not on the screen no more.
She'll be back. She'll be back. She had to go fix something. So, yeah, like I said, I did see you dancing recently at a club, like during the pandemic.
I went, and you see, I put for old time's sake. Yep, I said, let me come out for old time's sake. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I went out and had a good time dancing for old time's sake. I said, let me give him a little bit of something for old time's sake.
So I said that, man. I didn't know your boy Soda Pop passed away, though. Man. Somebody was telling me, like, yo, I don't think he rolled with Bull no more. I was like, well, I'm going to ask him about it, see what he say.
Yeah, it's horrible, hey, bro. It's horrible. Yeah, he passed away on me. It's horrible.
Yeah, it is sad out here with stuff like that happening.
But God bless me with another best friend, Jay Reezy. You know Jay Reezy, singer, songwriter.
Jay Reezy, yeah.
He's more of a brother to me, but on the musical side, you know him. He done it all as well. He writes for a lot of superstars. And henceforth and forevermore, you know, that's what he do. But yeah, Danny got rest his soul. Long live Soda Pop, man.
Now you met a lot of legends, man. One of them that you met that I can't wait to meet. Taylor Bell.
Don't forget.
Yeah, one of them I'm gonna say is Patti LaBelle. Patti LaBelle is one.
You know, I sang with her for 3 years, as you know, 3.5
yes,
years.
Yes, you did. So and went on tour with
her. Been at our house a million times, you know, and all that type stuff, and God is good. You know, the things I've done, bro, is just, you know, money can never buy. Yes, I do well. I mean, I ain't got millions, but you know what I'm saying? I do well. But the money can't buy the things that I've done and going to continue to do because I'm not done. I've sang with, you know, everybody. I done wined and dined, like Ric Flair say, with kings and queens, literally. And I done, you know, danced around with royalty. You know, I done, you know, been out of the country. Then all on musical dime. You know what I'm saying? And sang with all the superstars. Past, present, and future. You know what I mean? I done toured with the Eric Benet's, toured with the Jodeci's, toured with the Drew Hills, toured with the Patti LaBelle's, toured with the Mint Conditions, toured with the, you know, the Boyz II Men. The list goes on and on and on. From the 70 groups to the OJ's, to the Whispers, to the Manhattans, to the Delphonics, to the Intruders, to the Temptations, to, you know, the Ebony's, you know, the list goes on and on and on, and still doing it now. Got records with them all. Bow Wow, Jadakiss, Freeway, Gilly the Kid. You know what I'm saying? Shady Black, Del P, PD Crack. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of them. You name them, they all got records with me. It's like, it's a beautiful thing. You know, Bugsy, you know what I mean? Fake Grindhouse. You know, it's just, man, God is good. God is good. You know what I mean? God is good.
Now, is there any
Cool G Rap. Did you hear the record I just covered Cool G Rap last year? Cassidy. Like, you name them. I don't even want to name everybody because then I feel like I'm forgetting names. I obviously got 506 collabs. They all got records with me. You name them. If you shout it out, they got a record with me. You know what I'm saying? Like all of them. 22
Hold on. But is there anybody in Philly that you wanted to work with that you did?
Ooh, that's tough. You know what's funny? From Philly that I didn't get, that's a hip-hop artist.
Maybe a singer. You might want to do a duet with somebody.
Okay, so singing wise, you know, you know I'm different. You know this. So for me, not nobody of our era. I hate to be honest. I mean, I'm honest. So mine would be like, you know, the 70s guys. You know, people that I missed. You know, so if I had to do something, you know, I wish that I could have worked with. Maybe I'm trying to think of somebody because I actually worked with them all. There you go. Teddy Pendergrass. I never worked directly with Teddy Pendergrass. I sang with his group. All his members, the original members after he died from Blue Note, you know, from all of them, Harold Melvin, all the whole group. But Teddy, right. I never worked right with Teddy. When I start singing Teddy and being around Teddy, he was in a wheelchair. So when I was singing with his group and stuff, but we never worked together at his funeral. I'm so blessed in the organization, if you could look it up. Patti LaBelle sang at his funeral, Tyrese sang at his funeral, and the one and only Corey Williams sang at his funeral. So that should tell you something. You know what I mean? Man. His son called me direct, Teddy Jr., asked me to sing my Sam Cooke song at his father's funeral, and that's what I did. So
that is nice. That is nice. So hip-hop
art. It would be Teddy Pendergrass for me. Hip-hop-wise, if I just had to throw somebody out there, if you say hip-hop-wise, Will Smith, I've been at his mansion 3-4 times and worked with him as far as him hiring me to sing for his mother and stuff like that, but I meant cutting a record with him. Will Smith was very close with me. He hired me flew me to his one of his mansions 3 different years in a row. Not one, not two, 3 years in a row to sing at his mother. So, you know, so that should tell you something right there. Somebody flying you to Los Angeles means a lot to sing for their mother. So I done well.
Yeah, sure does.
But yeah, no hey, record man, with him when he was rapping at the time.
You've been getting down and getting around, baby. Listen, yeah. And like yeah. I said, you got a long resume. I'm gonna ask you this one more joint, then I'm gonna switch it over to the Chocolate Girl.
Good.
With the like I said, back with these record deals.
Yeah. Like I said, that was my first one. So okay, so I got a crazy situation now. I'm just speeding up for you. I had three. This is my third one. This is my greatest one because it allows me to keep 60% of all my publishing and da 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 da. This is where all the residual checks come in every 3 months. How I can keep up with a 5-bedroom and da 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 da, and another house I own on City Line Avenue that I rent out. But anyway, the residual checks. So I have a crazy publishing deal with Who Mag and Sony.
He got another phone call. Busiest man on the show we ever had.
Busiest man
in
Hollywood.
People is calling.
He got to get. They he got it. You got to get another phone, man. Yeah, that's what it is.
I just told her. I just yelled upstairs to the white, like, you know, let her get it. Who Mag Sony? Sony gave me a crazy deal, and I was like, just know it's nice. It's a nice little situation. When you can keep 60% of all the stuff you're writing, you're doing real good. So a lot of my songs get played all over the world. And then, radio streaming, different things every time they get bored. Well, you know the game. So I get a nice little check for that. And then I got another deal. So like I said, with the Temptations and the Intruders, these are different contracts through Universal Records. So I got Universal Music Group and I got Who Mag Sony for my music. Who Mag Sony is for my music, for my publishing and records. Universal Music is what contract me with the Temptations and the Intruders. So my Universal deal is very nice. As the lead singer of the group, of course I'm not original, but still as the lead singer, I get 57%. I just round that off to another 60. 57% with Temptations of all show profits, and with the Intruders, I get 72%. So you could just figure all that out yourself.
Hey.
Right. So we do all right. When I'm hitting the stage and I'm getting, you know, over 5 a night, I think I do all right. I'm not an original member, so to give me over 5 every night I hit the stage, I'm very comfortable with that.
Yeah, you are.
And we tour every, and you see we tour every month. So you
know. Y'all tour, y'all do tour a lot. Y'all, right.
And my hooks for underground artists don't even go no lower than 1,000 every time you see me in the studio. That's for underground artists with no management, no contract, just trying to start their, trying to start themselves up.
So you got different prices for different situations.
Right. Well, all 22 of my side artists, like when Cassidy, when me and Cassidy did our joint, and I walked right in, I said, I know you Cassidy, that you had a million seller back in the day, but I said, I'm Corey Wilkes Cassidy, and that's why you called me. So when I walked in, he dropped 25 in my hand. I said, all right, I'll do it for that. You know, and so forth and so on. Coogee Rap just last year, 3,700. So, and he's a legend. So that's just two numbers for you. They all pay like their way. That's the point I'm making. You know what I mean? They call me because I'm the king of hooks. Yes, they who they are, but they calling me because they know who I am. It's the difference. I don't look for a record deal now, obviously, that I'm 41. We don't care about record deal now. I'm making enough. I do well. You know what I'm saying?
But so, you got an album on the way, though.
But I got an album on the way, right. So that's funny. He did his research. Go ahead, boy. But I'm finally putting the album out. And yes, Sony is going to put a little check behind it, but it's an independent contract check. But it's still a nice check that they're going to put to push the album. So I'm happy with that. So yes, I'm going to do a crazy album. Jay Reezy, shout out to Jay Reezy when we're writing on the album. Speed Rider writing on the album. Of course, myself writing on the album. Have a few features, don't know who in mind yet. Already talked to Bilal, Bilal's soul sister. I got Bilal, so I'll give you one of the Bilal's soul sister going to be on the album. We're going to do a crazy soul record. He's looking to work right now. He's been out the scene for a while. So I got in touch with him. I'm doing it. Got Roots playing 2 songs on the album. You know, and I was working with the Roots. I don't know if you've seen that. I was working with the Roots when I was 17, 18. I cut a song with Erykah Badu called Coming Closer. So the joint went gold. It's still out right now in Philly, on the Philly Bolt Gems album, Corey Williams. Like, it's crazy. It went gold when I was 18. And 18, selling 500,000 records at 18. I was happy with that. You know what I'm saying? They gave me 22% of that check at 18 years old. So remember that. 22% of that check when I was 18. So I want you to remember that's 20-something years ago, getting that check then when the money meant more then. So remember that.
Yes, it do. Then it do now with strength.
You understand what I'm saying? They got to know what they're talking about, baby.
Right. Hey, now listen. Now, did you ever work with ESN Three Times Dope?
You know what's funny? We were supposed to
once. I love them.
Yeah, me too. We were supposed to once. It never happened.
But you know Three Times Dope is a writer. I know you know this.
Right. I know, but I'm saying we're supposed to do some things like writing together and producing together and do a project on a few artists, and it didn't work out.
I didn't even know. I just found this out recently that he wrote the song for Destiny's Child. Gave it to you.
Him and his team wrote a lot of songs. They got hits for everybody. A lot of people, though, believe it or not.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Little Mo, they did some stuff with Little Mo. Even singers, I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. That's what surprised me, that the rappers was doing singing songs. Yeah.
Listen, it'd be a lot going on behind the scene. Y'all have no idea. You know, obviously, I'm in the mix. I'll be seeing them. But you know what's funny, too, though? Let me say this, too, though. It's tricky. The word writing gets tricky. I don't know if y'all know, and I'm not disrespecting y'all. Maybe you do know. But it's for those that don't know that's going to watch this interview. The word writing is tricky, too. I could be writing a song right now, and I get stuck on just one line. You two right now give me five words. Now you're a part of the songwriting. Yeah, we have to only put five fucking words in.
Give me my credit. I want my credit.
But the point is, you have a right to the credit for those five words.
That's right.
If I get stuck on those five words, you help me write the song.
That's right.
So now, the thing is now, 30 years ago, when they put this new thing out, it was like, in the late 90s, they put a new thing out. Let's just say 2000, but it was late 90s. They put a new thing out now where you get percentage of the writing, because they know, how can I really say, you helped me write this whole damn song. You put 5-10 words. I wrote the whole song. Do you get it? So it would start being robbery. That's how back in the day, I don't want to say names, you know, because y'all for the music business too, many writers and producers would rob the people of their writing credits and material royalty stuff because, you know, I'm not giving you, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to put you on this thing saying you wrote the song with me. Hey, nigga, you only put a line. I'm not doing that. So they robbed them back in the day. That's why a lot of these oldie groups have, you know, don't have the money they should have. And the money was different back then. We know that value-wise. So that's why. So it's deep. So a lot of people now, they can write, they add a little couple words in the song, and they say, I hope write that song over there. They did, but they, you get what I'm trying to say? You put one sentence in a whole song. Are you really going to go out and say, I help write that song? But you will, though, nowadays. A lot of people will. And I'm not mad at you for doing that. Get your hustle on. Get your grind on. You put a couple words in that song, fuck it. Tell everybody I helped write that song. Because you did. You see what I'm saying?
You're supposed to get like 1% or something like that.
Now, and now it's even crazier. Write a whole song right now, the producer gets off the bat. The producer of the song, which is the beat maker and the producer producing the record, mixing the record and all that, he gets 35% to 40% off the rip then. Yep. Which leaves you, the writer, with 60 to split up with you and whoever else helped you write, right? Came up with a melody. Oh, that's another thing. You could give me a melody, Chocolate Girl, and you could say I helped him write that song. And you did. That's right. That's the new thing now. You gave me no words.
But no words.
And I took that and wrote something to it. You know, oh shit, you become a good writer now because you're a composer and you helped me write that song. So now you got writing, composing, producing. Because writing consists of writing, melody, and producing.
That's right.
You helped with that. So now you're a songwriter. Just from giving me the melody. No words. No words, but you gave me the melody. And I'm singing to your melody. So now you helped me write a song.
Man, you gotta tell these stories, man. She's Chocolate Girl gonna get to it. She's gonna get to it right now.
I'm telling you, Dennis, I'm coming up with those words to our theme song. I'm coming up with them words. I'm just letting you know. Yeah. Letting you know. But look, I love the way that you like to talk about the business.
Yeah.
I love that. That's where my questions always, I always try to get to the business.
Yeah. Because Chocolate Girl, a lot of people are lost in this business. It ain't glam like it was when you and I was growing up. It's not like that when they're giving them big deals and all that. No, it's no more of that. Now you got to know the business, self-work yourself, and then they'll put a contract behind you of what they see you can do and done. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Ain't no more than big deals.
That's what I want to talk about is that contract. How important? I want you to express to people who are watching today, who are thinking about going into this business or others. Yeah. Tell the people how important having a good, tight contract is.
You better have a tight contract by, you know, you don't want to end up a person who was a has-been, meaning When I say has been, not just has been meaning you was a hit wonder. I'm saying has been is meaning you had all the work and they took it from you. So you're a has been. You have to have a solid contract where it protects you. Not worried about protecting them. They're already right. going to be protected off of everything that you produce, give them, and everything they publish under you. You got to worry about getting a contract that protects you. And if it's not that contract that you wanted, if you say, I want a $1 million contract, but that $1 million contract is going to not protect you, but you better settle out for a $300,000 contract that'll protect you, and you just work a little harder and hope that God bless you, which he will if you put the work in and keep him first in your mind. You have to do things in order, just like the Bible.
Right.
The Bible order. It's a way, just like it's a way in any religion. Let's just don't even talk Bible. Any religion, there's order in everything you do. If there's no mm-hmm. order, there'll be just be disarray. It's order. So if you don't follow the guidelines of coming into a music business and have order, you don't know nothing about it. They're going to railroad you. You have to know you want to be able to protect yourself. Have a good agent behind you, a good lawyer behind you, and a good confidant. You didn't hear me say manager, did you? Nope. Because no. manager would take fee from you that's not needed on the work that you're doing these days. Remember, I'm talking about these days, not the old days when it wasn't social media. Back in the day, you needed a manager because it wasn't social media. Your manager was to promote, self-promote you, pump you, you know, talk for you, dictate, run around. Nowadays, we got everything. Social media. You and I are doing an interview right now on Zoom. You get what I'm saying?
That's right.
Now we have everything. So now you can promote yourself. Y'all see my loud mouth, big mouth self. I ain't got no manager. Listen.
See, you are beautiful because that was my very next question about your self-promotion. How do you go about doing this? And you said an attorney. You got to get a good attorney.
You want to have a attorney and you want to have a confidant.
Confidant.
You're close. You know, somebody that's going to close to keep it real with you.
Who else do you need?
Your agent. You always need one agent who you want to not always. You don't have to answer all your calls all the time. I didn't say manager. Okay. Your agent helps you book your bookings. I don't want to answer my phone all the time, right? So I pay somebody else just to be my agent to help me with them bookings. You get what I'm saying?
Got you. I got it. That makes a lot of sense. And yeah, that was my next question was to talk about the self-promotion, how you go about it, how important it is, because I'm sure there's someone out there listening.
The phone just keep ringing. So,
oh, that's fine. That's fine. I just kept on talking. You know, I can keep on talking.
Yeah. But that's when your agent helps you. You don't want to keep answering all the phone calls and all that all the time. You want to have somebody that's going to help you. And then you talk to your agent about what he got the call about and booking me about. Yep. Agent, confidant, lawyer.
What do you do yourself in terms of self-promotion?
So as yourself, as the artist. So like, let's just talk about me. For me, the reason mm-hmm. why I'm so successful, besides God's grace, I have to always put God in. I'm sorry if it sounds redundant, because I do nothing without God. So that's just how
that's
it
right.
is. But anyway, after God, because remember, God also said you have to put the work in and then it'll bless you. So don't get mm-hmm. it misconstrued. You can have God. We all got God. Many people got God who didn't make it because God is not everything, meaning God said, put the footwork in and then I'll bless you. So anyway, so the way I promote myself, as you see, I'm out. Well, I don't have to as much now because obviously I have contracts. I'm blessed. But the way I've done it to get where I'm at and still promote myself heavy, I'm the mouthpiece of myself. I ain't got no other mouthpiece, meaning I got an agent, but I promote myself. I'm the one who talked it. I'm the one who told you what I wanted to do. I'm the one who was at every event. I'm the one who was making the phone calls. I'm the one who was going to the radio station. I'm the one who was going to the shows, watching these superstars, and then trying to get to their attention, get to their people. Hey, listen, I do this, I do that. Me, I'm telling you, give me a chance. I'm the one who's doing all that. I'm the one who's out telling singers I can out-sing them all, start talking my trash, kind of like how wrestlers do. I would go to concerts, tell them he can't out-sing me. That's how I got to know. Listen, we used to go to the Hollywood Palace back in the day. We used to compete back there. I would get on stage and say, I'm Corey Williams, da-da-da. This is before I got my slogan. I'm Corey Williams. I'm from Philadelphia. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's nobody in here singing like me. I got booed sometimes for saying it. I got applauded sometimes for saying it. But every time I got finished singing, I got a standing ovation. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I did my own self-work. I negotiate all my contracts. I mean, literally, my fiance, she upstairs. But if she came down, she'd tell you my phone rings 24/7. And yes, that's a great thing. But I negotiate it all. When they call me, they know they got to talk the right numbers. If you don't talk what I talk, I say, well, I'm not interested. When you got blessed in the position I am now, I could turn down situations because I'm blessed. I don't need your situation. I get a check every month from, you know what I mean? From from singing with the groups. I get a residual check every 3 months from a musical record.
Look. Somebody calling right now. Somebody calling him right now, probably to strike a deal and get a contract and all of that.
You keep working. God is good. You keep negotiating. You keep making yourself. Keep being the face of your own self. Be the face of your own self. Don't depend on nobody to push you better than you, or you're going to be a lost cause because they would take their time. They might have 7 other people. So if I depend on you, Chocolate Writer, to only be pushing me, but you got 10 other artists, how much time you really going to put in 10 artists? And besides your own self stuff that you need to do, and
I'm a miracle though. I'm a miracle. I can do it all. See, I'm the Chocolate Writer. Yeah. You know how you self-promote? I, two of a kind, honey. Don't get it twisted. We are.
What's your sign?
I'm a Cancer. My birthday, June 23rd.
Yeah, I get along. I'm a Sag. We get along with Cancer and Aquarius. Yep.
Yeah.
So it's just, I've been blessed to do a lot musically. I don't want to keep talking your head off, but it's just, I've been blessed to do it.
No, not at all. And see, this tells me we have synergy, because my very next question was about that negotiation and the times that you had somebody lowball you and you knew they were lowballing you.
Oh, yeah.
And how do you handle that? But and you said, no, thank you. I'm not interested.
That's right. Because you got to know your worth.
If you got to know your worth.
If you don't know your worth, why do you expect somebody else to know your worth? If you're downgrading, look, if you're going to downgrade yourself, why can I downgrade you, right? If you feel that your song that you're writing for, let's just say if you was a hook person like me, if you feel this hook is worth me getting $5,000 to $10,000, because you know they're going to keep, you know, the residuals of the hook unless they get a record deal. Let me tell you how this works so you know. If I cut a hook with somebody, they pay me to go cut the hook. Not, that has nothing to do with my writing. See, that's where the business come in at, where those may be not smart enough. They'll say, oh, he paid me for this hook. I went in there and cut it, and I'm done. No, that's for me to come do the work, laying the hook and singing the hook. The writing and publishing is different for though. That's why you got to have your ASCAP or your BMI, whatever it is you desire to have it. So when that record gets spent in all these little streaming places and all them people downloads and buy, when he puts it up on his album, you get credit for that as well. See what I'm saying? Now if the song go big and a record company say, I want that song for a project or for a movie or for whatever, da 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 da, you got your 25%, because the hook is 25%, 50% normally, but nowadays I'm saying since everything went up, they get the producers, you know, 50 now, but anyway, and you split writers with the rapper. But anyway, so you get your 25%. So it's different fees. Me coming to cut the hook, it got nothing to do with me getting my, you know, my produce, my writing rights, you know, for publishing. So
see, you got to know what you're doing. Can you talk about a specific time that you turned down a gig? It was a great gig. Oh, it's all of this. We're offering you all of this. Yeah, but they're not trying to pay you.
But it was just one just last summer. Essence Festival. You know, that's all we out there in New Orleans and all that. So where I'll be this time, finally, they got the check right. I'll be a New Orleans Jew. But they did get the check right. See, let me get right to your question. But so to turn it down for only a year later for them to get the check right was a benefit for me. See what I'm saying? Which means I had to say no to get what I really wanted later. I did not get it. I got it. Just got it a year later. But anyway, yeah, they called me last year.
Because you knew your worth.
That's right. They weren't offering the money I wanted. Turned it down. I said, I'm not going out there to New Orleans. You're not giving me $1,000 a night. I'm Corey Williams. I've been singing with everybody and still sing with everybody and very noble and very documented and, you know what I mean, this and that. So they said, okay, we'll call you back. They never called back, stuff like that. I said, cool, well, you know, that's it. So here it is, December that just passed, right before Christmas. I got the email to call them and their producers and all those that are putting the concert together for this year. And they talked the numbers, and I said, okay, these numbers look good. You went from 1,000 to saying 3,200 a night. I'll take that. So did you see the difference?
Exactly.
From five days. So I'll let you wrap the math up about that. So to go out there on a free trip, because they pay for your trip and do all of this, and still you getting your 32 a night for 5 shows. So do you get what I'm saying? It gets greater.
Exactly. Daily.
Why go do 5 nights for $5,000 when you can wait a year and go get 32 times 5?
Hey, it makes sense to me. That's just business right there. And that's knowing your worth.
Yo, Ernest, whatever you ready, bro. Go ahead Go on my Instagram, Kenya Hook, DM me right now, and I will go ahead and, you know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? So.
That's him. When you do shows, do you ever get at a show and just take requests from the audience? Like somebody saying, can you sing so and so?
On a band show. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Somebody keep calling him.
So he got the hotline on Saturday morning.
At least they know we have real, we have people on here that's the real deal. I tell you.
You know the phone is ringing, but the for a band show, you can always do a request because you can just tell the band, play this. But mm-hmm. when you're sitting up there doing a track show, obviously you can't because you don't want to just bore them with a cappella. You know, you yell out something, hey, sing Sam Cooke! I could do that a cappella. But if you just say, you yell out something, some temptation, you know, want to get temptation choice that you do, and you ain't got the, you know what I mean, the music and all, it's like, do you really want to do it? Nah. So, yes, I'll take a request if I'm doing a band show, but not a track show. Oh, and the difference between that, even though I know you know, but like you said, you want to be educating people. Track shows are way less money than a band show. You have to also look at business with that. If they want you to bring your band, you got to make sure they pay your entire band fee that has nothing to do with your fee. So now you combine them and tell them the fee. Track show, you'll do half of what you would do with a band because it's a track show.
So, that's right.
You know what I mean?
The track just plays and you sing to that right. And that's that.
That's right. So,
okay. Has there ever been a time that you contracted to do something, but then all of a sudden they sprung something on you that was not included in the contract that they want you to do?
Yeah.
What did you end up doing?
So that happened about 3-4 times. And out of the 3-4 times, 2 times I didn't do it. The third time I made them throw me money after having a conversation in the bathroom, throw me a little couple of dollars in my pocket cash. And then the fourth time I did it for free because it was a benefit. It was a benefit for Leon Huff and, you know, Gambling Huff. So I couldn't say no to that because I'm, as you know, or maybe you don't know, I don't know if you read everything. I don't know if you know I have a situation with them. So that's why I'm in the contract with them as well. I do a lot of work with Leon Huff even to this day. He's 80 years old. I'm at his mansion all the time, one of his mansions, because we're only a couple minutes apart from each other. And I'm working with him, and I'm cutting records with him that he puts. And they put them tough stuff out, like on jazz albums and different things, little albums that they put out that they put in their vaults, but they pay me well to do them. So, you know.
That's cool.
Yeah. I want to give a shout out, too. Even though we're keeping it going, I'm going to also say, because it's on my mind, I want to first give a shout out to my legendary Intruders. You have to understand, these guys are in their 70s. I'm 41. These guys, we talking about originals. Phil Terry is the only original still living. I've worked and sang with all of the original members of all the groups I've been with, besides all of us that carried on. So don't get it wrong. I done sang with the originals first, and then us that carries it on. I done sang with Otis from the Temptations, the only living original member, which is still on YouTube. Our last concert was just January. So you know what I'm saying? So I say that to say, oh, shout out to the Intruders who are now carrying it on. Shout out Phil Terry, who's still living, allow us to do what we do. He's just running it from the backside. He don't sing no more. He's kind of health issues, keep him in prayer. But Dean Morrow, Renardo Haynes, myself, Gil Morrow, and our road manager, who've been working with Leon and Gamble and Huff, the Philly National Records, for 47 years. And that's Leroy Glenn. Right. So that's how we keep going. Leroy Glenn is the original member. Leroy Glenn has worked with Kenny Gamble Huff for 47 years. And that's our road manager. And we keep it going. We're in New York tonight, so the Intruders. So,
and we're in Connecticut. The legendary.
The legendary
Intruders.
Leroy original, Phil Terry's original. And God is good. We're in Connecticut next week. Of course, Mother's Day, you know, we got 3 shows Mother's Day. Why wouldn't we have the Mother's Day song?
And okay, so you got to tell me when you come down to North Carolina.
We just left North Carolina. God damn, October.
See, when you come back,
we got
to hit the girl up.
They got us coming to South Carolina this summer, but I'm going to try to see, hopefully, we can come to North Carolina.
I stop at the border. I'm not venturing into South Carolina. Yes, ma'am. If it's not going to Myrtle Beach, I don't go into South Carolina.
Mm-mm. Yes, ma'am. And I don't blame you.
No, sir.
I don't blame you. And I also
no, sir. Hey, listen. I got one more question, and then I'm going to hand this back to my illustrious co-host, Dennis Holmes.
Yes.
Okay. can you please, I know this is a request, but can you just sing one line, just one line from a Gerald Levert song? Can you do that?
You like cut over like that?
Oh my God, yes.
So let's see, Gerald Levert, what was my favorite? Because you're actually going to be shocked when I say this, but I'm only a realist and not a fakist, you know what I'm saying? Yes. I was more so in his father and them. I wasn't a Gerald.
Oh, what? Oh, that's no, okay. No, no, hey, let me get Eddie. Let me get Eddie. Let me get Eddie. That's my original. Let me get Eddie.
You make the light the rainbow glow. There's no power on this earth to separate us, baby.
Oh my gosh! If my sister is listening, you know she's probably on the flow right now.
About that song?
Oh shoot, we know all about that song. Yeah. I know all about that song. Okay, Dennis, I'm handing it back to you. When he comes back on, it's on you.
That brother can sing right there.
That brother can sing. Woo!
That's just warming up. That's the light work. I'm a bad man. I'm the baddest thing on 2 feet. With
okay, Muhammad. I'm going to call you Corey Ali.
Corey Ali.
Hey, Corey, hold on, man. Now I got to bring it back.
Come on, baby.
What I did not know about you was you and your basketball life.
Oh, yeah. I'm an animal.
Right over here, mind you. I'm right here. I'm at Parkside.
Animal.
I'm at Parkside. Animal. Sharon, he plays people for money.
All day long. Animal.
Beats them.
$1,000 games, $500 games. And let me tell you my record. He tell you, you can vouch this all on my Instagram. 86-0 last year, the year before that, 92-0 the year before that with COVID. I stopped at 42-0. I haven't been lost a 1-on-1 in 3.5 years. And I beat them all. And I played over just in 3 years.
And everybody he beat, he get his phone out,
and
right?
Say what? You the next?
Dig it!
I've beaten them all. 7 foot, 6 foot, 300 pages. Tell you they all on my page. When you look at them,
Sharon, I'm trying to. Sharon, let me tell you something.
And they all still lose.
I've been trying to get Rashawn to play for 2 years.
Hey, I'm gifted, Sharon. I'm something different on that court. I'm being honest. Oh, God bless you with a lot of talents, man.
So Dennis, when I come to Philly, you got to make sure I come when he's in town, when he's not traveling somewhere, so I can come see something.
Yes, definitely. And I'll take.
He knows how much I love the game. I love basketball.
Oh, you love basketball? Okay.
Oh, I love basketball. Yeah.
What?
You love basketball.
If you come to the city. I'm in Middletown, but you know I'm still always traveling back and forth to Philly because I own a house in Philly. But if you come to Philly, me and my fiance will take you out to eat when you come. I make sure we take you out to eat as well. That's on me.
That'll work. That'll work.
Because you came, we'll make your North Carolina trip worthwhile. You know what I'm saying?
But wait a minute, Dennis.
My lady is Southern girl. She's a Southern girl.
I was about to say, Dennis, right. Before you go on, I want you to talk about your fiance just for a little bit.
Babe.
I want you to talk about her because I was looking at the pictures and the video of y'all. I was like, look at them. They are so cute.
Yeah, she's a Southern girl. She's South Carolina.
Is she from South? Okay.
I met a girl from the South.
Because she's from South Carolina, I won't talk bad about her.
State. Right, right. You'll let it slide, right?
I'll let it slide.
I know North Carolina and South Carolina don't get along with her. Damn, they really don't. But yeah, she.
I don't understand why they don't get along. They don't get along.
But you know what's funny, bro? We don't care for New York niggas. And I'm only from Philly. Let's be realistic.
But I understand that.
But we don't hate them, though. Like you said,
yeah, we don't hate them. We don't hate them.
Us in South Carolina, that's how it is. I'm from Ohio. I was born and raised in Ohio.
Oh, wow.
But my father was born and raised here in North Carolina. So I've always loved North Carolina. Always hated South Carolina.
Yeah. Wow.
Hey, I don't understand the Ohio thing at all.
And you know what's funny, y'all?
What do you mean you don't understand?
Yo, I love this interview. Tell you, about it. You know, I'm posting this on a, you know, I mean, obviously you want to give it to me wherever it goes. I can't wait to post this. I'm having.
You don't understand Ohio? What you don't understand?
I don't understand how y'all, everybody from Ohio, don't live in Ohio that I know. I just don't understand that.
Yeah, because I've never run away. Ohio has changed.
They're gonna keep calling like they don't know if I'm on an interview or not, y'all.
Yeah, that's what they do.
They don't learn.
Five different calls, yo.
That's why you gotta get you, like I said, or if you had a tablet.
Yeah. You know what's funny, bro? I got a Mac and all that. Man, we got every damn thing. Computers, Macs all over this motherfucking house. I should have done that. But you know,
That's okay. We'll have you back again.
We will have you back again.
But even if she doesn't get on camera, talk about her just for a minute. Just talk about her for a minute and what she means to you.
I'm gonna make her come downstairs, babe.
No, don't make her do that if she don't want to.
Right, she might not be dressed.
She may not want to. Just talk about what she means to you.
Oh man, she means everything to me. I believe that. See, it's a difference when you know we all had mates, all of us. You know, we all had. Speaking of all of us, even you on the camera, we all had girlfriends and boyfriends in our lives, and we all thought that they would last, you know, for whatever your reason was, thinking it would last. So here's my thing. Being as though I am who I am and been blessed to be who I am, here she comes now. Come on the camera and say hi. Here she, can y'all see me still? You good?
Yeah.
Yep, we see you.
Say hi, honey.
Hello.
There you go.
Hi. How you doing? She's so pretty. Y'all are so cute.
So they just—you can stand your pretty ass right here because they just asked me, you know, how I feel about you, and I guess why I feel about you. So again, you know, I've had my share of females, you know, because I'm, you know, who I am and been around, and so I've always had, and I won't talk bad about girls I had. I hate when guys do that because you had them for a reason, so you don't have to talk bad even if it was bad. You get what I'm saying? So you watch how you say. That comes with That comes with word etiquette and learning stuff in life, learning how to interview. So I say that to say. I'll just say, I always met girls that I tried to make the one. It's a difference. You get what I'm saying? If you knew you met a girl, let's just say, and I'm throwing this out there, you can either, you know, take it for, you know, let's say I met a girl at a club, whatever, strip club. I'm just throwing this out there. And not saying they can't be the one for somebody else. And maybe still could be the one. But sometimes I would meet girls and just try to make them the one when a lot of things were already there to show you they wasn't the one. If they was, you know, disrespectful or wanted to fight or was out in the street too much. You know that's not a girl you're going to marry.
Right.
They can be the one you have fun with, you know what I'm saying, and be the one for you at that moment. You're fun. Now, when you say you're ready to settle down and get a wife, which is what I did 4.5 years ago, that made all the difference. I said I'm ready to have a wife. So for 2 years, I had to sit down and say, Lord, I'll wait until you send me my wife. And that's what happened. I waited 2 years, and I waited single. And then finally, here she came. And the rest of in history. So now you're talking about a Christian woman. And I'm talking about Christian for real. I'm talking about, like, we all Christians, most of us, I'm sure. But I'm saying, and nobody's better than nobody. So I'm not saying that as well, because I'm Christian. But I'm just saying, for me to meet a woman of this sort of Christianness, who's, I mean, really ordained and preach it and walk it and back it up and shows it and comes from that Southern family that has it, because that's what y'all do.
All right now.
And all y'all Southern people, you know, y'all love God in the North and the South Carolina. I met a girl who's not only, so the Christian part is one thing. She's super smart, you know, degrees all out the world. She can name all her degrees. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna get into what she do for a living because we're on camera. So she has a great job as well because she went to school and got some degrees, so she can have a great job. She's a backbone. She's very persistent and consistent in everything that she does. She's reliable, never deniable. I like rhyming. And, you know, she backs me up in everything I need to do. She makes sure she stays on me from my health to my wealth and everything else. So it's like she's a beautiful woman. And that's why I said I got to marry her. I put the ring on the finger and I said, you a bad girl. You the baddest thing on 2 feet without a microphone.
And you keeping her. That's good. That's good. I just wanted to get that out. Dennis, I'm throwing that back to you. I'm so glad for your love. Y'all keep nurturing that love.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I can't wait for the wedding. I wanna go to the wedding. I wanna see the wedding.
And you know what's funny? We got that coming up. We're getting married next May or June. So we got 3 dates.
All right. I wait for my invite because I want to be in the house.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to be in the building because I know you're gonna break out in song. I know you're going to sing.
You know I'm going to give him a song.
I know that.
I got to give him a song.
That's right. You wouldn't be you if you didn't.
No. I'm funny. I'm energetic. You know what I'm saying? Dancer, singer, you know, used to be boxer. I really got a lot of talents. Ball player. Yeah. God is blessed with a lot of talents. I'm one of them gifted ones. I mean, facts is not bragging. I'm just telling you facts. Okay. Everything I said, I backed up.
You got some brothers? You got some brothers?
I know. I got a best friend. That's it. My older
brother. Oh, okay. Wait a minute. My boyfriend might be listening, so I better be quiet. Better be quiet.
Dennis, what up, D?
Hey, listen, I just got to ask, man. You know me. I got to ask. Before you got committed and in this love life that you went, with all them tours that you was on, was the R&B tour life really like, was they throwing the panties at you back then? I just want to know.
Listen, when I toured with Steve Harvey, so watch this. Oh, yeah.
She said, I'm out of here.
The answer to that is plenty times, but I'm going to give you a great time. I was on tour with Steve Harvey, 2007. Me, nephew, Tom, and the morning crew. We went to New York. We went to Biloxi, Mississippi, and Atlanta. When we got to our Biloxi, Mississippi show, three of the Southern girls knew who I was down there because they heard me win his radio show. So I go down there. I'm singing my first song. Nephew Tommy came out there and said he never heard nobody in his life sing the Sam Cooke song like me. So I said, wow, thank you. That's the way he introduced me on the stage. So I go down there. I start singing the song, da-da-da-da-da. After I got finished singing the song, before I got into my second song, one of the ladies walked all the way up to the front. She threw a bra right off the stage at me. Everybody's like, ah, you know, going crazy. So I picked the bra up. Of course, you know, I could do, you know, I'm singing, do what the hell I want. I said, oh, this smells good. You know, talk about whatever I'm talking. And I said, you threw this for me, baby girl, you sure? She said, and I got some more besides some cooking. Come on with me. It was just so dope. Steve Harvey was laughing. Nephew Tommy, we laughed the whole night about that. Like, he's like, boy. Yeah, boy, what you gonna do with that girl down there? I was like, oh, you know, I was like, Steve, you know. But when I toured with Drew Hill one time, you know, I had a girl at that time, so I didn't do anything. Actually, I'm gonna tell you a story, and this is either truth, either believe it or don't, but I don't talk no fiction. So all my friends, they know. Number one, I've never cheated on any girl I've ever had. And I'm gonna tell you why, though. Because I grew up with a beautiful mother and father, married to death to them part, and never daddy never cheated on mommy, and of course likewise. So I was grown around love, you know. Three, you know, my two sisters, then my mom and dad, you know, we ate dinner at 6 o'clock Monday through Thursday, Friday and Saturday, Sunday through Thursdays. Friday and Saturday you was on your own. It was like free fall. Daddy and mommy cooked Sunday through Thursday. 6 o'clock we ate, and I just seen love. We played Scrabble, you know, pity pat, you know, different games at night together. Yep. Trouble.
That's what we
grew
did
up, we grew up like that. Mm-hmm. Right. So I never seen cheating. I never seen none of these things. And so growing up and watching all the oldie movies and all that, I would see how some people would get their hearts broken, go to drugs and this and that. So I said I would never cheat on a girl. And I can only just hope that she never would cheat on me. That's all I could do. So the way I said I would never cheat on a girl, hoping that that would benefit me from never getting cheated on.
That ain't always work out. But
No. And I've been, listen, I'm Corey Williams. And I'm Corey Williams, and I've been cheated on. Same way Jay-Z cheated on Beyonce. Should we keep going?
It happens, right? It's part of life. Circle of life.
I cheat when I was on the road and cry me back. And I let him cry a river. I wasn't coming back. So.
You cheat, you belong to whoever you cheated with. That's the way
That's right.
That's just the way I feel about it.
I love this interview. I can't wait to see this on YouTube and post it on post the whole interview on my page. So make sure I get my shout-outs once you get done. I don't know when you're done. Just let me know.
Oh, yeah.
We'll make sure you get all your shout-outs. And,
yes, sir.
We definitely got to hear you say your Ric Flair woo.
Oh, you know, I am. Come on now. I'm the baddest man on 2 feet with a microphone. Woo! The Ric Flair music business. They know there's only one me. There'll never be another like me. 506 hooks got him shook. Come on now.
Oh, Lord.
Lead singer, the Truders, Temptations, Tramps. I done did it all and had a ball.
You did. Now, is it at any point, you know, have you ever thought about it? I got to ask. I don't know if it's ever went through your mind that if you was to lose your voice, what would you do?
That's crazy. If my fiance, she went upstairs now, I talk about that a lot. She tell me you got to stop because you're speaking in things you're not supposed to speak in as a Christian. So, but you asked the question, so I'm gonna answer that. I've done that a lot. I used to be sitting scared, like, babe, you know, like, say if I feel funny today, I'm like, babe, my voice, You know, she's like, are you tripping? You overreacting. Man, I'd be like a female. Then listen, if I lost my voice, I wouldn't know what I would do because my voice is all I am. You get what I'm saying?
Right. All the- but I see you went and ventured off and got, you know, into the real estate business. That, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. You know, yo, Dennis doing his research on Corey Williams.
Listen, man, I don't play around, man. I listen. I'm trying to get to another level. When I first asked you to get on the show, I was already prepared then.
Wow, God is good. Yeah, we got two homes that we actually, you know, got hooking out, making some money out of. And one's in Winfield around City Line Avenue. Another one's in South Philly. The South Philly one is almost done. We did on some things. Me and my fiance, I say we. So me and my fiance, I do nothing without
that's
her.
Good. Good,
but yes, that is absolutely correct. Wow, did the research. Wow.
Yeah, you got it. Because I always think to myself, like, when I heard nephew Tommy had, you know, had the surgery and everything by his throat, I was sitting there, I was like, he do so many impressions. Like, his voice is everything.
Yeah. If I lost my voice, man, I'd be done. But I'll be done as far as mentally and, you know, my heart wise, that's all I am or who I know. Financially wise.
But you can still write to people.
Financially wise, that's why you open up other businesses. You know, just, you know, not to say just in case, but you just want to have your hands in a lot of other things if you want, you know, revenue for the rest of your life.
Other,
you know what I'm
saying? Streams of income.
Right. Right. My lady. She just told me 2 days ago, and I don't mind saying this. It might sound silly to y'all, but I'm just showing stuff that we sit here and talk about sometimes. What else can we do, babe? She said, you want to think about putting some vending machines in all the colleges and in all the hospitals? Because we got connects in hospitals.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what? That was just 2 days ago. So that might be the next thing we'll do.
That might be.
So
it's needed.
Ice cream machines. She wants to do ice cream because everybody got vending machines, but a lot of them don't have ice cream machines. The difference.
My sister said you would still play ball, real estate, and love your wife. That's what my sister said.
And you know what, Miss Sheila, I appreciate that, and you are correct. But I'd be sad if I can't sing a song. But yes,
I know, I know it.
But I think you let me know. I think you rubbed enough elbows in this music business that you could probably do something behind the scenes. Maybe be an A&R.
I've got positions. I've got stuff offered to me now that I'm not ready for. I want to keep singing right now, and you know what I mean, doing what I'm doing. Yes,
like what kind of stuff?
A&R, production, training, vocal training, management side. I've had 6 contracts offered of management from a lot of people. From, you know, I'm talking about from Def Jam, Universal, this and that. But the contracts wasn't to where make you want to say, leave right now. If you wanted me to be somebody manager, you give me 25%. It's not enough for me to leave right now. Not what I'm doing.
I understand. Definitely understand. Because I was always wondering when you get, you know, when you rub elbows with those music companies, do it always come back like full circle? Do they still look out for you? Like, you know what, hey, man, we got a job for you here.
I'm going for 25%. I'm not doing that. You know what I mean? Now, again, you know my age now. We all the same age. I'm 41. So by the time I get, you know, probably 45, I may stop with the hooks and stuff like that. But I may not. I may keep go to 50. The touring is always going to be there because I'm able to be blessed to sing oldies for the rest of my life because people like you who love oldies always make it relevant for us to sing. So I'll be always able to get a check traveling because I'm in contract with Universal Music Group and I'm the younger one. Don't forget that we had these conversations, my group members, unfortunately, that I hate to have, when their time comes, if I don't go before them, because these days you can go before them, but if I don't go before them the way it's supposed to go, I'm going to have to look for some other intruder members.
Oh, that'll be bad. That is something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Them to get some new members. How you gonna recruit them?
Listen up, y'all. I don't know why I just keep messing up now, because that time it ain't ring. And I'm just walking around some of the house. But the intruders just said to me the other day, you know, Corey, we only got a few years left. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Of doing
like have you start recruiting?
I didn't. That's why I'm being honest with you, Dennis. Because I hate to admit it. I hate to think like that. Being honest with you, I don't like thinking like that. Is it a reality check? You know, we just lost a member. I don't know if you've seen it. We just lost.
Yeah, I seen you lost a member.
Right.
Yeah,
we just lost one. Keith Elmore. He's a rich. Keith been singing with the group 26 years, 25, 26 years. He the same with the Blue Notes. I'm about Teddy and all them, like the real, like heavy in the game, and we lost him. And I was like, damn. And he's the one I started with, and I'm like, wow. So rest in peace to him. You know, all the guys are in their 70s, man. So, you know, I hate the fact that I'm going to have to recruit soon. But it's something I don't want to think of at the moment, though I know I have to. You get what I'm saying? Makes sense. Right. I hate to admit that I have to, but I don't want to right now. But I will face it soon.
So what would you? Well, you ain't think about it yet. I was gonna say, what would you do?
Work.
Like,
it's a lot of work.
I would teach. Would you? What about me? Like right now, being the fact that you still got some of the members still living, would you like take a guy with you to shadow you or whatever?
I would actually. I would once I get to the recruiting. Once I say Corey needs to start recruiting, it's a lot of work, y'all. You know, yes, y'all see us singing and all that, but you see how old the group is. You see how we do, Dennis. We step. Of course, I don't obviously because I'm the lead singer, but you talk about steps and being able to step in, hold your note. That ain't easy. Right. Am I right, Chocolate Rider?
People. Oh, you're right. But I got a suggestion.
What's the suggestion?
Contact the Hamiltones. Do you know who the Hamiltones are?
Wait.
The Hamiltones are the three, Carolina, right? The three backup singers for Anthony Hamilton. They're brilliant. They can harmonize.
Right. But I need somebody to step. Yeah, but
see, and they know how to step and sing.
And it got it's all guys. It's gonna be and I wouldn't want to just get. How can I put it? When that time comes, I'm 41. I pray to God that I don't come. Even if they don't pass, I pray to live to 100. Let's just say when they stop singing. Let's just say all my members stop within the next 5 years. Let's just say that. So now they're 80 years old. So they most likely they'll stop. Right. I'll be 45, 46. So then I would recruit guys that are not my age, believe it or not. I would like older guys because they're more seasoned to what I need. So I would go for 60-year-olds. You get what I'm saying? Even though I'll be only 45, mm-hmm. I would get 60-year-olds. You get what I'm saying? Because they are more seasoned to what the oldie sound is. Not the young guys trying to come in, make it your own, adding riffs and runs. If you follow my music when I sing these songs, where you going, beautiful? You sing it like the record. It's not like I'm doing my solo.
They sing with that old school. Oh yeah, they do. That's why I suggested them because I know they know this music, and they know how to sing it.
Well, maybe
they probably not.
Hey, maybe that's
they're probably not going on stage. They probably want more money.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know about you know the business part. I'm just thinking about their voice because I've heard them live twice.
Yeah,
and they sung some of the music from the 60s and 70s in their show.
Just
the three of them by themselves. Oh my God, they are amazing.
Harmony. I heard them twice. They do have great harmony. I did hear them twice. Mm-hmm. We all heard of each other, even if we don't know each other. Being in the business so long, and I've traveled with this oldie group, this one by itself, for 17 years the lead singer, and 18 years. So I've been a long time around. I'm only 41. So Dennis even knows I lead sing for the Tramps for 4 years. So we have three Tramp shows next month. So you talking about like I'll be up there. I mean, you Disco Inferno to my surprise. I mean, you gotta be. You know what I'm saying? 100 stories high.
It's all right.
Gotta, it's different voices you gotta.
Not the Little Disco Sonny, Inferno. I'm lazy.
Little Sonny, did you ever?
But Little Sonny, you gotta be the lazy sound. You know, Cowboys the girls. You know, I remember when I used to bless you to man. That's his voice. Yeah. You know, I remember. Mm-hmm. Where that one, folks are screaming. Out of control. Every voice is different. Whatever you
I understand that. Now you ever get up there? Have you ever had a moment that you got on stage and you just didn't feel right?
You know what's funny, y'all? And probably 80 or more percent of the people that sing can say they had that moment. But I'm gonna shock you. 41 years old, professionally singing since 16 and a half, I've never had one hiccup on any performance in my entire life, and I done sang thousand shows, and you can put
you can put up on any show.
Obviously, you can put my name up on YouTube. You'll never be able to go back and say he messed up. I've been blessed to never mess up on stage ever, and knock on wood, the stage that way.
I'm glad of it. Listen, Sharon, do you have any last words?
I do. I think last week I said never stop chasing your dreams.
Yes.
And we have a guest on today that also is an embodiment of not giving up on your dreams. Wow. I mean, you started 16 years old. Yes, and you have this dream to sing, and you just went on out there and did it. And so I'm just going to say, people out there, my thought for the day, my final thought for the day is to just stay focused, keep plugging along. Amen. Step by step. Every little thing that you do is a building block. It's not going to blow up overnight. Yep. Just take your time and be patient and wait on the moment. That's right, and you'll get there. And so that's my closing thoughts.
Well, my closing boxes goes like this. First of all, I'm grateful and blessed. All praise be to God. We do nothing without him. I'm thankful for Dennis and Chocolate Girl, the Chocolate Writer, for having me on their show. For those, because, you know, anytime you do an interview, I don't care who you are, even some of your biggest celebrities, some people, it's somebody that never heard of you. So it's always a blessing for any interview. I don't care if it's Zoom or wherever, because it's somebody that you made me, like your sister just met me. She didn't know me. You get what I'm trying to say? It's somebody else that just came along and said, okay, wow. And now they can go to my Instagram at King of Hooks. So that'd be a new follower. Facebook, both my pages, they maxed out. But Instagram, Twitter, at TSOP Corey. And they can see what I do. YouTube, just Corey Wims. Everything is just under my name, so I make it easy. But I want to say, again, thank you to you guys for having me on your show, allowing me your time that was allotted to you as well, because I'm never over cocky to say thank you to you too. I would also say shout outs to my best friend, Jay Reezy, the greatest R&B writer that I know. Rest in peace, Damon Jacor, my group, No Question. Formerly, I did 4 years with them. Thankful for them for the time we had. Thankful for Leroy Glenn, my role manager with the Intruders. You know, Dean Marvel, Gil Marvel, Renardo Haynes. Rest in peace, Keith Elmore. You know, Temptations, Otis, you know, Wiley, Little Mo, you know, and Dave. We had a beautiful time all the years we had. And you got the Tramps, who I'm touring with next month. You know, Dave Dixon, shout out to him. That's the last original of the Tramps. Look it up. He's been in the Tramp for 52 years. I sang with the original Tramp, last surviving member, Dave Dixon. So God has been good to me, man. I want to say shout out to everybody that salutes me. Shout out to everybody that loves me, supports me, and all of these beautiful people that wish me the best, as I wish you the best. And my words for prosperity is, keep doing you, give God a curse, make sure you do what's best for you. Stop worrying about what's best from what other people may be saying for you. You should know what's best for you. You know what's best for that meets your requirements or your availability or your financial, whatever it is, do work for you. And everything will come to you that's meant for you. All right, you know what I mean? Put the work in, keep God first and put the work in.
All right. I'm going to say one of the things you said earlier, make sure you know your worth.
That's right.
Make sure you know
your worth. These houses don't come cheap. I got to keep them going. We got three. We're renting out two. We try to make 10. God is good, y'all. Salute to y'all. I'm on the show tonight. You'll see me posted. I'm on stage tonight in New York with my group, The Intruders. God bless all of y'all, and thank y'all for having me.
All right. God bless y'all. Great day.
Dennis, you're going to send this to me, right?